الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: قد أفلح من زكاها وقد خاب من دساها. صدق الله مولانا. Before carrying on with today's topic, one or two points that were left out about pride. There are two types of pride as far as Shariat is concerned, Islam is concerned, and both are totally haram. One is called takabbur, pride. And that this type of pride is that a person thinks he is better than other people and he looks down upon other people. This is also totally haram. And a person, just because of some outward position, top position, that does not make him superior to anyone. Like the husband, just because he's the husband, he's not superior than the wife. The boss, just because he's the boss, he's not superior. The criteria is by taqwa, how much of fear a person has got. For the system and order to run in this world, there has to be an amir, a leader. He has to be the higher person. But he is not superior in the eyes of Allah because he is the amir. Many times the wife is much more pious than the husband also. Many times, and how many instances, the workers are much, much more pious than what their bosses are. So these things, on just because of having a top position, of being higher, as far as dunya is concerned, doesn't make a person superior. There are quite a few examples to understand that. A bubble is always on top of the water, but the bubble is empty. There is nothing in the bubble. The water has got the value. Water will quench thirst. Water will irrigate ground, fields, and make things grow. What will the bubble do? But the bubble is on top. Surah Tabbat Yada is on top of Surah Ikhlas. Qul huwallahu ahad. But just by being on top of Surah Ikhlas virtue and superiority is so much more higher. So just outwardly Tabbat Yada is on top, doesn't make it superior also. Like for example, myself, I'm sitting here higher than what you are sitting. Many of our brothers are sitting on chairs, we are sitting higher, but that doesn't make us superior. Just by sitting higher, a person is not superior. It is the amount of taqwa, piety a person has got. Because of necessity, unnecessarily, a person shouldn't sit high also than others. That's an outward show of also that I'm higher. Of necessity, then there is no problem, he's excused. You sit higher in namaz also, there is no problem. If the place of making Safa or Sa'i, between Safa and Marwa, if the bottom one is full, you go on top. If you're on top, you are not superior than the ones at the bottom. They're of necessity. And if there is a necessity, don't go and make a Sa'i on top. Make it at the bottom. So these outward things don't make a person superior. But in worldly positions, we think we are superior. How a boss treats his workers sometimes. We should always consider, we don't know who has got more taqwa. The husband, his wife also, he shouldn't, just because he's the husband, he thinks I am superior. And he demands that she must listen to him. Even in things, as we read, that as far as things against Shariat, there is no compliance whatsoever. But we demand it also. We say in this house, what I say will go. Everyone must listen to me. And we even sometimes, and so we are right on the borders of kufr, that we say even Shariat, Quran, what the ulama say, what I say in my house is what I say. Nobody, even an alim, even an imam, even a mutawalli, is not the boss and can do as he wants to. They are all governed by the laws of Allah Ta'ala. A alim in a town, the imam, the mutawalli, all we are governed by Allah's laws, and we are there to execute the laws of Allah Ta'ala. So this, just having that outward position, doesn't make anyone superior. So a person mustn't look down upon any person. And the other type of pride, which is haram also, is called ujab. In ujab, a person, vanity, You don't look down upon anyone. You don't think I'm better than others. But just so much to think I'm good, that is also haram. Just to think that I'm good is also haram. So many of us, we feel we don't look down upon anyone. We don't think that we are better than anyone, but I'm all right. For example, a jamaat making gasht comes to our door. And we tell them, why are you coming here, brother? Go to those people, they need it. That means I'm good, I'm pious. You need it the most in that case. Because you are the most in need. When you say that I don't need it, go to somebody else. So just to think that I'm good, this is also totally haram. And one easy solution to that and remedy to that, the one beautiful golden words of Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali, ke nek banna faraz hai. Apne aap ko nek samajna haram hai. That to think yourself, to become nek and pious, to have taqwa, all these things, it is faraz on a person. But to think that I got taqwa, or to think that I am pious, this is haram. A very easy example to understand this, if we take a ball and we throw it up, with how much power we threw its strength, and according to the weight of the ball, etc., it's going to keep on rising. But a point will come where it will stop. Where it stops, it never stays there. It comes down again immediately. And more faster than what it went up, it comes down. So just like that, as long as a person nek banna, to become pious, you're going up all the time. The minute you will stop and you think, now I am nek, now I'm all right. Now I don't need islah anymore. Now I don't have, nobody has to tell me anything, I'm pious now. You come down faster than what you went up. And this is that even if you get ijazat, you become a sheikh also, and you have thousands and hundreds of thousands of murids. And the sheikh himself, if he's not concerned of his islah, now he's worried of other people's islah. And he forgets himself, immediately he starts coming down. Any person, so, and this is hatta ya'tiyakal yaqeen, until yaqeen, which means the thing that is absolutely sure, maut. Till maut comes, you have to keep on making effort. You cannot be absolved of it, and you cannot be unmindful and unconscious about it. All the time, one dua that we should make to Allah, our intentions, that Ya Allah, hamatan, hama waqt, apne islah ki fikr karta rahunga. All the time, every way, all the time, I will keep my islah in mind. And there are so many examples to understand this, which is not difficult. Your garden is the most beautiful in the town. You won a prize also for it, the most beautiful. But if you don't maintain it for one day also, then weeds are going to start already. Continuously you have to maintain that garden. If you just neglect it a little bit, that garden, it drops immediately. You build a brand new house. All the furniture, the house decorators, the furniture people came, they did everything. A perfect house, clean, spick and span. The last corner of the house is the most remotest crevice is also clean. But one day doesn't even pass. A day is also too long and the dust will start settling again. And you have to be concerned of its cleanliness. If you say, my house is now, I bought a brand new house. Next, my whole life now, I don't have to clean it. What will happen to that house? That what will happen to that garden? It will become such a jungle that people will say, you don't have to take the trouble of going to Kruger National Park anymore. Kruger National Park is just here outside our doorstep here. So this all the... And one time, Maulana Abrar Haq Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, with a murid, a friend of his, they were visiting somebody. They knocked on the door, they were waiting. While they were waiting outside, they noticed this person's garden was not in a good condition. It was just neglected totally. The neighbor's garden immediately next to it was very well maintained. It had, it was beautiful, it was maintained very well. So in that little while, these are the Ahlullah. All the time, they are concerned for themselves and for others about Islah, about our reformation. So Hazrat then asked his friend who was with him, what difference you see between the two gardens? So he said, you can see this one is neglected, that one is well maintained. Then Maulana explained that this person hasn't kept a gardener, a garden service. They don't do it themselves, they haven't kept a garden service. That person has kept a garden service. So you see the difference. The same way, a person who has kept a garden servicer for his heart, for his islah, a sheikh, and he gives himself to the sheikh, and the islah is made, that garden will be green, will be beautiful. And the person who hasn't got any garden service, who's not worried about his islah, that person, his garden will be like that. Totally neglected. You feel a bit awkward, you don't want to sit there, you don't want to pass it also. And a nice garden, it's not your garden also. But just passing it also makes you feel so nice. So our hearts, our spiritual condition is much more serious. So the minute a person becomes neglectful, and any person, you can't imagine in what gunas you fall when you are not conscious of your islah. You fall into the worst type of outward gunas also. You start getting, you're a pious person, and you, what and what haven't you got? But you will be surprised, you're now involved with women. And so many people with child porn. With child porn, and you can't believe this person. This is where, if you're not in concerned, which this ayats of the Quran Sharif I've recited, in front Allah says, Allah says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. Those who made that tazkiyah, they've got complete success. وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. And that person is in total loss. And this loss, we cannot imagine what that loss is. You lose your family, you lose your health, you lose your business, you lose your friends, you lose your respect, and everything is lost. مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. A person who didn't do this. Then Allah gives an example. What take? Composition and bayan the surah is. Now to end it off, Allah says, كَذَّبَتْ ثَمُودُ بِطَغْوَاهَا. The people of Thamud, they falsified and denied the Rasul, etc. And when they asked for a she camel from a certain rock, and that she camel must be pregnant also when it comes out. Allah granted this also to them. What a miracle. In front of their eyes they saw it happening. And the miracle they asked for. But when islah is not made, they did not only falsify and deny, which was so terrible, but Naqatullah and Ayatullah, they went and they killed the sign of Allah. So all other sins, especially about lust and that, about woman, that will appear like a picnic in front of what sins a person will get involved in if he's not concerned of his islah. And many people, that's a subject we want to come to onto inshallah, how important islah is. So anyway, so this is what happens to a person. So this ujab that I think I'm good and I don't need any islah. Whether it's a person who never made his islah and he feels we don't need islah. Or whether it's a person who made his islah properly, under a proper Shaykh Kamil, and he did it properly, and he became completely muzakka. He became pure and clean. But if he's not conscious and maintains his islah, he's going to fall again. This will not remain. And that is with anything in this world. If we ever travel by ship, we will find always the painters are busy painting. Because the rust that from the sea water that comes onto the ship, they just finish one round, or they got fuel set according to the size of the ship where they continuously have to paint. Otherwise that rust finishes up there. Solid steel, iron. But the rust, how won't it? And dunya's rust, which we are living in, if we think we don't have to make maintenance, we don't need, that person will go. You need for maintenance all the time. So this to think that I'm good. In the Hadith Sharif it comes to this extent, a person who just wears some nice clothing, which is not haram, but now he feels, I'm smart, I'm better than other people. He falls from the eyes of Allah and he sinks in the ground. Just by thinking, I'm smart. So the minute a person thinks, my namaz, Maulana Shah Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullah Ali said, the worst namaz a person's worst namaz in his life is the day he feels, today I made a good namaz. Today my namaz was perfect. I made a good namaz. And because that, now my namaz is made now. And as long as a person feels that my namaz is deficient, not only that much, that will bring tawadu. But for Islam, I have to improve my namaz. If you think my namaz is perfect, now you don't have to improve it. The minute you think my namaz is perfect, or whatever knowledge I got is complete now, I don't need more knowledge. Maulana Hussein Ahmed Madani Rahmatullah Ali, students who used to graduate as alims, Dora Hadith finally, he should tell them that you will remain jahils if you don't, now you have become farir, and if you carry on learning, that is by teaching. The greatest learning process is in teaching. That is when a person learns the most, when he teaches. Then he realizes his own deficiency. This I haven't understood. And like that, just as a learner, you can overcome those things. But when you have to explain it now, and students ask you questions, that is when you realize your deficiencies. So he said, those who will teach and will keep on learning, hopefully they will become alims. This is only, we're giving you the sunnah, not that you're really an alim. Alim is people like Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah. People like Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangoi rahmatullah. People like Imam Auza'i rahmatullah. Where are we? If you keep on learning, hopefully you will become alims. So here also, when a person becomes fari, he gets khilafat etc., or he spends a chilla and he feels, I'm made now. That person, this also, if you will carry on, and that person will really get made, who makes majlis, which we want to discuss. A person who makes majlis, and he makes islah of people. The first person's islah who is made is his own. And a person who doesn't make islah, majlis, his islah is limited very, very greatly. Even he comes to his sheikh's majlis, but he doesn't make majlis. Because when you speak and you tell other people, you start feeling guilty. That I'm not doing this, I'm telling others, but I'm not practicing. And one easy ploy of shaitan, don't tell anyone, so you also don't have to do it. Otherwise, if you tell others, then you have to, and people will tell you, you're telling us, but you're not doing it. So, this is, making majlis is one way that one's islah takes place tremendously. Anyway, so just to feel that I'm pious, this is also a big, big deception. Because a person, where can a person be pious? Maulana Mazhar Sahib, our Sheikh, the Rahmatullah Ali's son, that when you go to Pakistan for our islah, then they give you a limited visa, 15 days, 30 days, then they apply for extension. Then you have to give a reason why. So he says, our islah is not made. So he says that, till mort, you will just take the extension. Because our islah is not complete. You know, this process will carry on till mort, our islah, for our islah. So a person has to take it that my islah, forget my murids, whether their islah is made or not, my own islah, till mort I have to carry on. And then a person, hopefully, and consciously also, one is a person is not even conscious. How many people feel we don't need Islam? It's not important. And if you are conscious of it, that's also not enough. Then to be active and to be practical, hopefully that person will progress quite a bit. So just to think I am pious, this is also a big deception. And it is also totally haram, vanity, to think I'm better than other people in any aspect. And the solution to this pride, whether it is takabbur, that I'm better than other people, or whether it is ujab, that I'm good, I'm pious now, besides the other remedies that we had shown, that a person says to himself, presently, I'm the worst amongst all the Muslims as far as mort is concerned. Also that what my position will be on the day of Qiyamah, that is going to count. Together with that, one very, very simple and easy and practical solution is that whenever, for any reason, we feel that pride is coming in me, I feel I'm good now, I feel I'm better than others now, then immediately just make tashakkur. Shukr to Allah Ta'ala. And these are two things, takabbur on one side and tashakkur on the other side. Takabbur, that I'm better than others, I'm good. And tashakkur, to make shukr to Allah Ta'ala. These are two opposite things. Takabbur, distance you from Allah Ta'ala. Distance you from Jannat. And tashakkur takes you closer to Allah. Takes you closer to Jannat. So two opposite things is a rule of philosophy, that two opposite things at the same time in the same person cannot be together. You two opposite things can't be together. If one of them will be there. So now you're feeling takabbur. People are praising you for whatever reason. You made a bayan, your akhlaq, your character, whatever. People are praising you and you feel, that's natural you feel. But you are apprehending that now perhaps I'm going over the limit and I'm thinking I'm good, I'm pious, etc. So just make shukr to Allah Ta'ala. So the minute shukr will come, then takabbur cannot be there. You go into a room which is dark, the darkness and light cannot be together. So all you do, that takabbur is there, darkness is there in your heart. Just put the light off, the switch on for light. Tashakkur. Bring that, and where the darkness evaporates and goes away to disappears, you don't even know where it disappears. It's gone completely. And tashakkur, the reality of it is, which Allah by His fazal and everyone's barakat in this Ramzan, it just came into my heart, that takabbur is you are feeling I'm better, I'm good, all that, because of this quality, that quality, these are all borrowed qualities. Allah has borrowed it to you. It's not your own. You are boasting on somebody else's thing. This is like that person who was getting married and the groom's party was going. And in the olden days in India, they should, from village to village, they are passing, going to where the groom's party has to go. The groom was a poor man, he didn't have all, but for wedding day he wants to also dress nice. So his friend borrowed him all clothes, etc., all his friends. So the one of them borrowed him a shawl to put across his head. So when they came to the first village, then everyone is eager, oh, groom's party is going. Who's the groom? So he was the best man, he introduced him, this is the groom. And but the shawl is mine. So he felt very offended, why are you disgracing me and humiliating me in front of them? So went to the next town, so there again, so he promised he won't do it. Next town, village, again everyone asked, who is the groom? This is the groom. And I won't say anything about the shawl. Again he fell. Next town they went again, they asked, who is the groom? He said, this is the groom. But who the shawl belongs to, I won't say anything. So anyway, the shawl belongs, he is boasting that I'm the groom, I'm smart. Like some ladies today, unfortunately, we think many of us, our piety is only in our namaz. And what is the quality also of our namaz? Because I make five times namaz, I'm pious. So some women, some social functions, weddings, etc., they go and take a very expensive brand name abaya on apron. They wear it for the weekend, for that occasion. And the next week they go and return it again. So you are boasting on somebody else's thing. It's not yours. You can't afford that brand name, which is another subject. It's not even allowed. But even in, as far as dunya wise, you want to show, I wear brand name things, I wear expensive things. But it's not yours, it's somebody else's. So this is what is takabbur. It's somebody else's. It's Allah's gave you that. He made you with that akhlaq. He gave you that bayan. He gave you that knowledge. Whatever you got. And you boasting on Allah's thing. And it comes in the hadith, pride. The only being that is allowed to have pride is Allah Jalla Jalla. Because it's His own things. It is His own. Allah has. And when you are being proud, you are pulling the sheet of Allah. So how angry doesn't Allah become if somebody not only takes your clothes but pulls your clothes and it chokes you, for example, or it makes you feel very inconvenient, how you feel? Allah is above all this. There is no like, but this is the exclusive right of Allah. And when a person wants to have pride, he's pulling from it. So when you make tashakkur, now you say it belongs to Allah. And also, don't only say privately to yourself, make it known amongst people also, praise Allah, that whatever I got is only from Allah Ta'ala. And this also comes, man lam yashkurin nas lam yashkurillah. A person who doesn't make shukr to mankind, and here an nas has come, not to Muslims, but to people. Whatever you got from whatever one, always make shukr of that person. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that a person who teaches me one letter, he is my ustad. And he will treat him like an ustad. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi asked a certain masala about a dog, for a bangi, for a very low class person. But whenever he should see him, he should show him respect. So this, wherever we get our, whatever we have got, and we show it to that we got this from them, then humility will stay with that person. But when a person wants to pass it off, plagiarism, you want to take some credit of somebody else's work, it's my work, then this person is, people also look down upon this person. Somebody else's things, and he is boasting about it. So whenever in all our things, how much we can ascribe it, that person will always be saved. Mufti Wali Hassan Tonki rahmatullah alayh, great buzurg also, great alim also of Karachi, he should say that very fortunate are those young juniors who have got seniors above them. That they've got somebody's shadow over them. But that is not only that actually you have, but you acknowledge it. Otherwise, many juniors don't acknowledge anything of their seniors. So always that what is of your elders, always appreciate it and attribute it, and go to them for mashura, take their guidance, and you stay small, you are always safe. But when you want to become big, you have a big problem also. One Maulana, he had to give a bayan in a certain masjid in a certain town. So he went, he booked in at the hotel, and he told him, but I'll come late because my bayans are long. After I finish my bayan, I will come. So you must inform the doorkeeper, whoever is in charge, that I'll be coming late. So he booked his room, everything. He made his bayan, he came late after the whole bayan. When he came, then he's now calling out the name of the doorkeeper that opened the door. He's not opening, he asked, who's it? He was awake. So he told him, I'm so and so. And in that, 20 titles. That I'm Hafiz, I'm Haji, I'm Alim, I'm Qari, I'm 20 titles. So he just slept away. In the morning he came, he said, I had to suffer, I didn't get my room, and the doorkeeper, I told him, and I booked, and you probably informed him. So they called him, why didn't you open? He said there was room only for one person, not for 20 people. So this 20 titles of yours can land you in big boiling water also. So a person want to become big, and I'm so big and this, it brings all its problems with it also. And how much a person stays small, he's always, he has great benefit in it. So this is an easy solution. The thing we wanted to discuss today is about what we are here for. And that is our islah. And a person goes for his islah to the khanqah. These things are still relatively, people are not informed what it is. For example, even the word khanqa, how we pronounce it, kanqa, and many other different ways we even pronounce it also. Like Darul Ulooms also, people used to call it the Ulum. Or what all, slowly, after some years now, people in South Africa, we are coming to used to what Darul Ulum is. At one time, Tabligh Jamaat was completely new. People didn't know what is Tabligh Jamaat. Today, Alhamdulillah, everyone knows. So khanqa, this department and division of deen, which is an integral part of deen. And in the Quran Sharif, it is discussed at various places. But generally, we are not conscious of it. And we don't know what a khanqa is. That it is an integral part of deen, the ayat of the Quran Sharif, where Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam made dua to Allah. Rabbana wab'ath fihim rasulam minhum yatlu alayhim ayatihi wa yuzakkihim yatlu alayhim ayatihi wa yuallimuhum al-kitaba wal hikma wa yuzakkihim. The tartib is different in different ayats, but here in the first supara it is in this sequence. So these are three departments of deen. One is the maktab, the basic elementary teachings of Islam, which is for us on the whole ummah. Everyone has to know about Allah, oneness of Allah, all which alhamdulillah is being done, all our aqaid and ibadat, etc. Every Muslim is supposed to know about that. That is for us. Then the next stage is يُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ, to become an alim. This is not for us on the whole ummah. It is for us that every community has so many alims according to the size and need of the community that the deeni needs can be satisfied. Everyone, Muslim ummah, as far as deen, firstly must be self-sufficient. Every community, and today there are so many communities, they have to get hafiz still from outside. Fatwas we have to ask from outside. Every community must have their own mufti also, when it's a reasonable size community. And so every community must be self-sufficient. And then the effort must be made in all matters. Muslim community must be self-sufficient. But basically, for our deen, that is the most important. So, on the community, it is for us that they see that there is an alim in town, that there is a hafiz in town, that the deeni requisites can be fulfilled by somebody. On the individual, it's not for us for everyone to become an alim. Then that is the one other big department of deen, which is the dua of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, and which in which he is making the syllabus of the risalat, to use the word for us to understand, of the prophethood of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam. For what his nabuwat is, Ibrahim alayhi salam made the syllabus of it. And it will be these three main divisions. And the third one, which is again for us on everyone, and that is tazkiyah. And all this is, the third one, is that the first two, what you learned, to practice on that. So that is what is the khanqah. Today, unfortunately, where there are some khanqahs, but quite a bit, they are all totally not according to Shariat. One friend of ours, Maulana Saeed in Lilongwe in Malawi, he told me himself, once he was invited to a Tasawwuf conference in Libya. He said, I'm getting a free ticket, I'll see a new country, free hotel accommodation, why not opt for it? So he went. But when he went there and they started the conference, he said 99% of all the participants were all what bid'at, innovations, and in fact of kufr beliefs also, and bid'at, and shirk, worshipping the grave, making sajda at the grave, all these things. So it's such a, if that is the tasawwuf, he said, we are the first one to call it haram. And very, very, I'll just complete that also. Then Maghrib Namaz, Imamat, Qaddafi was alive, he made Imamat. But he read softly in the Namaz. In Maghrib, you read loudly. The Imam reads loudly, but he read softly. For whatever reason, whether he could read the Quran or whatever. And around him are all the media people with the video cameras. And if this is called Tasawwuf, then we are the first one to say this is haram. And very sadly, in the eyes of most of the Arab people, ulama, this is what they have in their mind. That this is what tasawwuf is. And especially the tasawwuf of India and Pakistan, they think all this is this year. If they just read Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullahi's write-up on aqaid, they will understand that who the ulama of Dioband are. The ulama of Dioband, mashallah, what Allah has blessed them, that the Arab ulama are honoring them. This Maulana Qasim Nanotwi convention we had, it was in the honor of Maulana Qasim Nanotwi and the ulama of Dioband. Hey, they realize. And there are many other things also to show what Allah has blessed them with. But what also happens is the people give them wrong reports. The Ahle Hadith of India and Pakistan, the local Indians, Pakistanis, who the Salafis like. But they go and give the Salafis the report that these people worship qabrs. And when they come to India, Pakistan, they take them to the Barelvi, Darul Ulums, etc. And they show them what is carrying on. They say, you see, these are Hanafis, and this is what they are doing. But they don't show them the Dioband, Ahle Dioband. They give them a wrong. So when they get that picture, naturally, they will say that this is all totally is out of the fold of Islam. Islam does not permit anything like that. So they give them a wrong picture. So that is a different subject also. But what is the khanqa is where a person's islah takes place. And where, like for example, we have got how many hospitals in our country, in every town. Private government hospitals, private hospitals, doctors who are in private practice, who are in government practice, etc., hospital practices. Ask ourselves, is there any spiritual hospital? If just imagine, there shouldn't be one hospital in a country. What will happen to that country? All the patients, the people who become sick. And to take treatment from our physical illnesses, whatever they are, heart problem, cancer, whatever it might be, it's not for us to take treatment. Mort will come on its time. It's permissible. It's sunnah to take the treatment. And from for that, how lot of hospitals we got? How many doctors? How many medical colleges? How many universities where students become doctors? All this is present. But spiritual illness, pride for example, to do things for name and fame, not to make shukr, all these spiritual illnesses, anger a person has got, that treatment is farz, is farz ain for every person. And if all of us have to go take our proper treatment, and there isn't one hospital also, and there aren't any doctors practicing in this field also, so that is why the condition of not only the Muslims, the condition of the world, we are sinking all the time in immorality. We are becoming more and more down in every evil you can think, so much so that today governments legalize gay marriages. All this, the worst things are all legalized because there's no concern with regard to this year. So this is that department which is necessary on every individual. And for that, the khanqa is the spiritual hospital. And the spiritual hospital can't be just somewhere hidden away in some place. It has to be on its own. Maulana Abdullah, Mufti Abdullah Phulpuri, Damat Barakatum of India, the grandson of Maulana Abdul Ghani Phulpuri, a great alim also, and not so old, about 50s round about there, but Allah has blessed him tremendously. He was with us a few years also. He explained that he has made niyat of building 100 khanqas in India. And his own khanqa, I saw it with my eye, it wasn't complete that time when I met him afterwards in Umrah. He told me now it's complete. 3-floor building. How many rooms, etc. So he says that if the building is there, like for example, we know, we go and visit a town, where a few places it happened, that where we go and visit, then they show us the prison. Because they got a big prison. Now, people who are proud that they got a prison in their town, well, that means they are proud that they have got so many thieves and robbers and crooks. Families that are proud, we got so many doctors, that means they are proud we are sick people. The sick people and families that are proud that we got so many lawyers, that means they are all liars and they are all criminals. The criminal needs a lawyer. So anyway, they show you that. Or you see a big building, you ask, what is this? So he says the khanqas must be so much. And in the history of Islam, there were khanqas where 10, 20, 30,000 people should come and come for treatment. Spiritual hospital. Like today, this hospital is so big. There are beds for 2,000 people. There are beds for 5,000 people. Like that, there must be beds in the spiritual hospital. For the people, this is more. And also our physical illness, when mort will come, then the illness comes to an end. Now no more you have to take your tablets for your heart problem, for your cancer. You no more have to go for radium. It's finished now. It's all over. But your spiritual problems, spiritual health problems, at the time of mort, the problem starts there. What happens in the qabr, your problem starts there. And then it carries on till Allah wishes. So this is much, much more important. So this is what is called, what is khanqa. And for that, the doctor is a chef. He is there to give this treatment, and to diagnose the patient that he has got pride, and then to treat it. And the diagnosis you can make out in many ways. Like, for example, you take your motor car to the mechanic. Your car is not, it's eating oil. Every day I have to put a liter of oil, half a liter oil. Something is wrong. So the mechanic walks around to the back of the car and he sees the exhaust has burned black. Now he tells you, your rings are finished. You have to put new rings in your pistons. Your rings are finished. Now if you say this mechanic is such a big Allah-wala that he is getting kashf, that he looks at the back of my car, the exhaust, and he tells me what's happening in the inside, the middle of the engine, the middle of the motor, the engine, he can see that. This is no kashf or anything. The signs are very clear. So just like that a person, the signs that the anger that is in him, that is a clear sign of pride which is in him, the method that he speaks, how he sits, etc., how he walks, how he stands, everything tells you the condition of that person. You don't have to have kashf. If you have kashf, that's something else, but that is not important. And then to now treat that person and to remove that pride from that person. How much the pride is removed, the anger also gets removed. Otherwise, such a person is a thorn in the whole community. With everyone, he's got a fight. In the masjid, he's got a fight. Outside the masjid, he's got a fight. On the road, he's got a fight. At home, he's got a fight. He is not in peace, and he doesn't leave anyone in peace. So to treat these diseases are the most important. And once a person, as we read, deeni life comes right, your dunya's life also comes right. The crux is our deeni life. So Mufti Abdullah, he said that we have khanqas. There isn't perhaps one khanqa in South Africa as a separate building on it. And when people pass, what's this khan? What happens here? Like you pass a masjid, if some non-Muslims they pass, like the Darulum, what place is this? You explain to them what it is. The masjid, you explain to them. Any place, you explain. So the khanqa also has to be there. So this is absolutely essential and important in our lives. And then to become bay'at. Bay'at is that you just like you for consultation you went. You go to a doctor for consultation and you tell the doctor, I've got this problem and I would like you to... So doctor will consult with you. He will diagnose you also, and then he gives you again, come back in 2 weeks time. Come back in a month's time. Now regularly you'll have to come for your injections every week also. You'll need injections. So now the doctor will prescribe the medicine. So this is, you make one person, one doctor, your home doctor. That is the sheikh. And so this is the relationship with the sheikh. Some people feel that you have to, this is like the Christian with the priest, where you go in, confess. This is no confession. You don't have to state all your sins. What you have to ask here is the remedy of the sin. You don't have to say that all this sins I commit, that sins I commit. You have to ask the remedy of the sin. And the other thing is, the priest, he forgives you. What right has he got to forgive? But he forgives you, and now you're all right again after that. Yeah, the sheikh doesn't forgive you. He will show you your remedy. And this is what you have to do. So this has nothing to do like you go to a priest and you go and confess and then you're all right now. And you do the same things again. Next week you come confess again. No, this is not. Here a person confesses to Allah. His own private matters with Allah. But here you take the treatment. So this is what it is. So you become a murid then. Then there are adab of between the sheikh and the murid to benefit. And doctors, not so much. But hakims, usually they are very hard and strict. If you don't maintain the etiquette and the adab, they chase you away also. And what cases we hear. One person just told one hakim, when he gave him his medicine, and it had to be made at home, boiled in the olden days, 2 boxes full. He said, so much, he chased him away. He took his all medicine back again. So they couldn't tolerate all this. So, with the sheikh, the correct respects and adab are required. And how much you show you're correct, and a person who has humility in him, and the sheikh discerns he wants his islah, then Allahu Akbar. Our sheikh said, Haji Imdadullah Muhajir Makki Rahmatullah Ali. Our sheikh himself, we saw that the murid has to sacrifice for the sheikh. He gives his life for the sheikh. But when the sheikh makes out that this person is sincere and he's got capacity to become an Allah wala, the sheikh falls at his feet. That if I can be of service and I can be the bridge for him to reach Allah and to make his islah, this is my greatest honor. So that is how a true sheikh, that he's not haughty, proudful, but that how can I serve this person? How can his islah be made? How can he reach Allah and know reality of life, have become a arif and recognize Allah Ta'ala? So this is, now the sheikh makes effort. For that, these etiquette are required. The more a person shows, not outward respects, but from his heart. And it can be made out any person. A person just gives you a smile, like the air hostess. There is the most stupid person who thinks, hey, she really likes me. The way she's smiling with me. She's paid for that job. That is her work to do that. So that is one smile. And one is, a person gives you a genuine smile. There is a world of difference between the two. So just like that, a person who humbles himself and he really wants to learn, and he's humble also, and he's got all the etiquette, that person, the sheikh gives his life for him. And the sheikh helps that person, and that person goes very, very far. So this is one aspect. And then when the murid reasonably, and there are various things the sheikh sees, and then he gives him khilafat. Now, yeah, Allahu Akbar, our sheikh, Rahmatullah Ali used to say, if you go to a medical hospital for treatment, after your treatment you get cured also properly, but you don't become a doctor. You still remain a patient. But yeah, once you are cured, you become a doctor. The sheikh gives you now your doctor's certificate. Now you're a doctor. Now you go and treat others also. And then it spreads others also. He treats other people also. Then what must he go and do? When he gets khilafat, that is also another thing which hopefully inshallah, tomorrow we will discuss what are the duties. Khilafat nama, the certificate. The sheikh writes out, I give you khilafat. There is no jannat certificate. Some people think that is proof that I am now also a wali. I am also a buzur. That is no buzurgi. And that is no jannat certificate. That is only that you are being instructed that you must make other people bayat if they come to you, and you make the islah of other people. Mufti Abdullah Phulpuri, the Ahmad Barakatum, explained that the ulama of the past, when they graduated, and they had to do a course of housemanship of the islah also. After they completed their studies in the Darul Uloom, they did a whole course, some for 1 year, 2 years, 5 years, minimum 6 months, etc. They should spend time. And they should make their own islah. Then, they themselves and their ustads also, today when students graduate, the ustads will advise them to go and teach, make imamat, etc. You learn deen 6, 7, 10 years, now don't go and open a shop. Don't go in a factory. You maintain what you learn. But in the past, it wasn't teaching. That was also secondary. Primarily, now we're sending you to this place and worry of the islah of the people. And the islah on all, the aqaid must come correct. The ibadah, the muamalat, the muasharat, everything must come correct. And that is what when the ulama went like this, and they were concerned of the islah, how did the tasawwuf and deen come to India? This ulama from the Arab countries, they came here, and then they made fikr of the islah of the people. The people's islah took place, deen came into the lives of people. Sheikh Mu'inuddin Chishti Rahmatullah Alayhi of Ajmer. All what happens there is wrong now, presently in Ajmer. But he was a very great, great buzur. His sheikh sent him there for the islah of the people. And how he made the islah. An English historian, William Meir, he writes in his history book about India, on his one journey from Ajmer to Agra, 90,000 or 9 million Hindus became Muslims. They were worried of the Islam. Today I'm the imam in my masjid. My mutawalli is not coming for namaz. I'm not worried. My mutawalli hasn't got a beard. Never in my wildest mind it comes. I must tell my mutawalli, forget the other people who are living right next to the masjid. We know all how the women in my town are dressed. I'm not interested. Or I'm not yet. Islah is the main thing. And knowledge is also for the sake of Islah. So that Islah of everyone. So this is that. And if when the ulama were doing this, Islah was coming in the people. People were coming on to deen. But today, even who get khilafat, we just go and put it away, file it away. Well, and now my work is done. I don't even have to go khanqa anymore. And I don't need anything. I got my certificate. We're far, far away from what it is. A person who makes fikr and makes majlis and he makes Islah of people, then that is where it carries on. May Allah let us understand. We'll try and explain a bit more tomorrow and listen to it properly and understand what this is. There is not something out of this world. There is not some bid'at and some all other and karamats. Some people think the tasawwuf is all seeing colors and getting fragrances and flying in the air. That is the most furthest thing from the tasawwuf. The tasawwuf is our Islah to make amal on what we know.